So, hello everybody. We're here today with Dr. Michael Rucker, who has a PhD in organizational psychology and has worked extensively with effective workplace wellness strategies. And we're very pleased to have him speak today to the Drummond Shaped community. The reason I asked Dr. Rucker to speak is if you look on his blog, his website, he has everything to do with fun. Fun quotes, fun diet, why escape rooms should be fun. And I found that about 100% of the people literally that come to our jump rope classes say two things. One, they say it's a good workout, which I expected them to say that, but what I was very surprised about is that almost everyone, I think everyone actually, 100%, has said that the jump roping is fun. So that's why, without further ado, I asked Dr. Rucker to speak for a little while on why exercise should be fun.
Hello, thanks for having me. Yeah, I think one of the keys to having, interjecting fun into workouts, depending obviously on the cohort, because to some degree you're going to get selection bias, right? It's the people that are levitated towards the novelty of working out through any modality, whether it's jump rope or spinning, obviously are attracted to it. So you have that benefit of what we call in science selection bias. But ultimately, when you do pair fun with, the affinity for working out, it becomes a behavioral loop where, you have to put in work, but the work ultimately results in a reward. And then, so once the workout's done, after you recover, ultimately that carrot of that reward and having fun within that environment draws people back. And especially when it's something that's habitually positive, fun can lead to, obviously great results because people continue to go back, they exercise. And then also there's fun in developing mastery. So something like jump rope that's not inherent, we do find that there is some drudgery in common workplace wellness interventions, things like 10,000 steps, where they're really easy to deploy and you initially get high engagement because everyone knows how to walk.
Right.
One of the neat things about something like you're doing is that there is a certain aspect of a chain of mastery. You get in, I imagine the people there that are, there for the first couple of times are having fun, but they're still, watching the more advanced folks and seeing that there is benefits to sticking with the exercise, because you'll get better over time. And so when you're able to do that, you increase the amount of fun and engagement you can have over time, and that's just a really winning recipe for, having an exercise modality that's sticky.
Right. No, right. I've definitely found that interesting. That I found that people have commented to that point that because they're people of all different levels, they see other people, what they've accomplished, and it gives them more determination to push forward.
And then I imagine as you design the exercises for each class, there's a lot of variability, correct? I don't know if it's done to music. I should have asked you that before.
No, it is done to music. We actually have a unique thing that I don't have music or words, so we actually jump to some jazz music, some classical music, and also some soundtracks without words. But, yeah, it definitely adds to the environment.
Yeah, so I imagine that's another, it's an aspect that's baked into most class type exercise modalities, and it's super effective, and that's why it is done, is because that type of variability also contributes to the fun that you have in any environment, right? People, wonder is a natural component of fun, and wondering what's going to come next, what the instructor is going to throw at you, what are going to be the different moves, sort of that anticipation of whether or not you're going to get through it. And then again, the reward of a job well done, all of these are components that make people come back to fun classes.
Right, right. Now, thinking if someone wakes up today and they say, it's a little outside of, move away from fun for a second, but just your thoughts. Someone wakes up and they know they have this exercise class on the schedule later, but they're not in the mood for it. They're not in the mood for it. I mean, what kind of things can they kind of use, you think, to motivate them to get in the car and actually come to the class?
Yeah, so one of the professors that I really enjoy with regards to sort of, he calls them tiny habits, is a gentleman by the name of BJ Fogg out of Stanford. And I think one of the best ways to sort of, get over those types of humps is reduce all amount of friction when you're able to do so. So for instance, in that scenario, to make sure that the shoes that you're going to use for the workout class are ready, right there by the door, your gym bag's already packed, and you have this mental frame. I know this sounds simple, but also making sure that it's on your calendar so that when you see the reminder, there's dissidence if you don't go. Right. Because, you know, similar to how if you have a meeting at work, even if you don't want to go to it, if it's on your calendar, for whatever reason, it's psychologically immutable, right? It's like, I got to go and do this.
Exactly.
So those are all, simple strategies you can do to sort of get over those humps. And then the good news is every time you get there, 9 times out of 10, you're going to feel satisfied and know that you should have done it, unlike the boring meeting where you're like, oh man, I wish I really could have gotten out of this. So it's sort of a win-win for you to, you know, overcome that friction and resistance and then get the reward once you, you know, it's a job well done. So.
Right. No, definitely. And the other thing is that I've also seen, I don't know if you have studies, if you've encountered this, that a lot of people have been bringing their sons. And I know our son comes when he's able to come, when he has school the next day. You also find that this is another element of fun when you're able to do it with a close friend or a family member?
Definitely. So there's a couple different scientific concepts of why. Obviously, we're social animals, right? So we know for a whole host of different reasons that we enjoy spending time with people that we like. But then there's also the concept of social contagion, and that is that birds of a feather flock together, right? So we know that if someone else is going to be there that we enjoy spending time with, we're a lot more likely to go. And so the main construct there is that we just enjoy spending time with people that we like. And so absolutely, that's one of the best ways to increase the fun of anything, is to, you know, engage in activity with people you enjoy spending time with.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah, and then I guess I'll just one more question. Switch it from the focus from the jumper to me, the instructor, that I just throw some things out that I've done, but maybe if there's other ideas you have to help me. One thing that I've done is we implemented a goal sheet, like a Google Doc, so people actually see their goals, and then I announce it every week. People have fulfilled their goals. Ideally, the goals are going to be accomplished in, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. It could be something like doing 20 double unders in a row or losing 3 pounds, whatever is accomplishable in about 3 or 4 weeks. And then also we have a leaderboard based on how often you've come and what kind of if you've been able to accomplish the individual and the team challenge. Is there any other things that, and also one of the things that also that you mentioned before is that a lot of the times I don't make the routine till on the spot, because I like to see who's there and create a median routine that is attainable by most of the people. But from my instructor point of view, is there anything else that, you know, to put you on the spot that you could think of that I could do to make it more fun for the people coming week in, week out?
Yeah, so one thing that I've seen be super effective, so let me back up 1 second and just say leaderboards work for some people, and especially there seems to be gender specificity, where males tend to have a higher affinity for leaderboards because they're more competitive. This
right.
is just a general statement backed up by empirical evidence, where women tend to be disengaged by a leaderboard because they tend to want to bond together and reach common goals rather than individual goals.
That's interesting.
So the way that a lot of sort of progressive clubs are meeting groups in the middle is creating a fishbowl effect, where you tailor the goals specific to the individual. You can kind of vet them because you know the members of your particular group cohort, so to make sure that they're all kind of level set. What we do on, you know, more of the digital health side is use heart rate training, because, you know, everyone's heart rate sort of level sets to their aerobic capacity, so that's a good way to do it. But if you're really intimate with the group of exercisers that you're with, you can certainly level the playing field accordingly to where you think they should be in 4 weeks. Right. And then everyone that hits their goals, and again, you should make these obtainable goals. You can, with individuals that are highly motivated, you can create stretch goals that are kind of outside of the public purview. But everyone should have, a ambitious yet obtainable goal. And for everyone that obtains that goal, they get a chance to win in basically a lottery. It's called the fishbowl technique. And for whatever reason, it is shown to be highly effective, because then you don't feel you're also creating a game of chance. And so people don't feel like they're competing against each other.
Right.
But there's still this level of, oh, I want to get that. And again, similar to sort of the allures of slot machines. And, again, I've talked a little bit in the time that we've had together about variability, that chance to win seems to be a stronger driver than, any sort of, end of one outcome of the individual reaching that goal.
Right. No, that's good. That's good, yeah. But what I'm planning to do is actually give out sweatbands to
nice.
people that accomplish a goal, so everyone knows who's in that school. But I like the idea of perhaps also putting them into a special drawing for some job.
And books. You can certainly do that. You could do both. And I'll make sure to include an article. I don't know if you have episode notes, but I wrote an article about the fishbowl effect, and it's a good strategy for that.
Very good. Okay, good. So I'm going to thank Dr. Rucker for your time and your insight. Thank the Jump Into Shape community for listening, as we're committed to building together a healthier body for us all. To increase our day-to-day activities and do the best we can do in a short time in this world. So thank you so much, Dr. Rucker. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.